So we're in a sermon series right now called A Growing Faith. And over the last couple weeks, we've talked about how we develop a growing faith. And so a couple weeks ago, we talked about surrounding ourselves with people who will take us to Jesus. And on the other side of that, we talked about being the kind of person who takes others to Jesus. So that was sort of the foundation for this series. And then last week we talked about giving. The more we give, the more we grow, and the more we grow, the more we give. We get that. And so we're thinking about this question, how do we develop a growing faith? One thing that I said 2 weeks ago is that none of us have arrived in our faith journey. All of us are growing, whether we've been a Christian for just a couple weeks or if we've been a Christian for 50 years, we are all continuing to grow. And that's the work of God in us, allowing us to be the kind of people that He has called us to be, to have the kind of faith, a robust, bold faith that He has called us to have. So my parents are here. And yes, I'm Robbie to them, but no, you can't call me that. That's only for Ohio. Our text for this morning is John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. That passage will be on the screen. You might want to find it in your paper Bible for those of you who have those, or find it on your mobile device if you'd like. But we're going to be in John 13. Starting at verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Or some versions say, he showed them the full extent of his love. Verse 2, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. I'd like us to pause there. Jesus, what we see here in verse 3, Jesus displayed security in his identity. He knew who he was. He understood his relationship to his Father. And when we are secure in our identity, when we know who we are, when we know where we have come from, and we know where we are going, it becomes a lot easier for us to get on our knees and wash the feet of others. Verse 4. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This is Jesus, the Messiah, the King, who is now washing his disciples' feet. And we all know, you've heard this before, it were the, was the servants, the Greek word, the doulos, the slaves who washed other people's feet, the guests that have come into the home of the host. The host didn't even wash the feet, let alone when the host is the Messiah. But here we see our Savior get a towel, wrap it around his waist, and wash the feet of the disciples. And these feet would have been dirty, right? They're wearing sandals. They're not wearing Nikes. Wearing sandals, walking dusty roads. Perhaps it was hot. Maybe they got sweaty. So you could imagine. I know some of you are just detested, right? Detest feet. But here, Jesus washes disciples' feet that were possibly pretty dirty and maybe even a little smelly. Verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. You see, the foot washing was a sign of an even greater act that Jesus was about to do for his disciples and for us and for the whole world. He was going to die on the cross. So the two final acts of Jesus' life, or two of the final acts of Jesus' life, are service. washing the feet of the disciples, and then giving his life for the world on the cross. And those words that Brandon read for us, and appreciate him doing that, sort of echo in the room. I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. And Peter says in verse 8, "No, you shall never wash my feet." Would you have resisted like Peter? I think I would have. I know who I am. I know my life. I know my background. And I know who Jesus is. And so I'm going to cut Peter some slack here in saying, "No way, Jesus, not my feet." I kind of get it. Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Give me a shower. Give me a bath, Jesus." So at the heart of service to others is the reality that Jesus has both served us and saved us. You see, we understand our identity in relationship to Jesus Christ. We serve because he has served us. We wash the feet of others because he has washed our feet. Verse 10, Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked. Jesus, the master rabbi, is always offering a lesson. And at this point, he's calling the disciples to reflect on what has taken place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" I think that question that Jesus asks is one that we should be asking ourselves on a regular basis. Do you understand what God is doing in your life? Do you understand why this is taking place? Do you understand why you're undergoing this trial at this time? Spend time in reflection. Do you understand what the Lord is doing? Verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Now they are to wash the feet of others. And we know, in faith, we understand that Jesus isn't just talking to those disciples in that room at that time. He's talking to disciples of all times, those who have taken up their cross and chosen to follow Jesus. He is saying to all of us, wash others' feet. And how do we wash the feet of others? What does that look like? I think one thing that we do is we serve in the mundane ways. That's a basket of laundry there. The basket is always full, right? So there's always more laundry to be done. In our society, we are attracted to the spectacular, right? It's the people who give $1 million to a school or to an organization that get the buildings named after them. And so there's a part of us that we're attracted to the big and to the mighty and to the powerful. But as we reflect on this story, we're reminded that service takes place in very mundane ways. And yet, even in the mundane ways, the service can be incredibly impactful. Washing the dishes, doing the laundry, writing that note, speaking that kind word, getting up with the baby in the middle of the night. I wouldn't know anything about that. But washing feet isn't spectacular, but it's impactful. Secondly, we serve through interruption. So we have schedules to keep, don't we? When we get off schedule, and I know there are some of you like this in the room right now, when we get off schedule, we feel as if the world is going to fall apart. So it makes things really difficult when the person stops by to chat or the neighbor needs help with their fence or any other maybe mundane task comes up or their interruption comes up. We think, no, I've got a place, somewhere to be. I've got something to do. I've got a full schedule. But again, just like serving through the mundane, serving through the interruptions has the potential to make a huge impact on others. I would imagine for all of you, as you reflect on your life, some of the people or situations that have had the greatest influence on you have been in those times where someone was willing to set their schedule aside to step in to help you. You think of moments like that. You know that person had so much going on, but yet in the midst of their busyness, in the midst of them keeping their schedules, they were willing to set that aside to help you out. Again, it makes a great impact. And so we strive to serve through interruptions. It's not bad to keep a schedule. In fact, being disciplined can be a very positive thing. But at points, we can get captive, held captive to that schedule so much so that we're not willing to seize those opportunities to wash the feet of others. And we serve by listening. I thought that was a funny picture. I guess I'm the only one. We serve by listening. Listening is an incredibly selfless act. To pay attention to someone else shows that you value what they have to say. You place worth on their life and their opinions and their thoughts. Or when they speak, for many of us, words go in one ear and out the others. I know that I am guilty of this from time to time, but just by listening, by offering a listening ear, perhaps when someone is in a difficult situation, but not only when someone is in a difficult situation, but in just a day-to-day basis, to be willing to listen to what someone has to say can be a great act of service and can mean the world to the person who is speaking, who needs to get something off of their chest. And then we serve by bearing the burdens of others. This means empathetically taking on the hurt and pain or challenges of others. It takes, and we talk about this, a lot, but we are not in this journey alone. None of us are called to bear the burdens of life by ourselves. We shoulder the load of not only our own load, but the load of others. And again, as you reflect on your life, I imagine you can think of situations or times, perhaps it was one of those moments we may consider a valley moment, when you looked around and you realize that there were other Christ followers that were walking with you, and it made all the difference in your life. And so we wash the feet of others by bearing their burdens. I'm always reminded of the passage in Romans chapter 12, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So got a ladder up here. I've got to tell you, my dad has been in the insurance business for 40 years, and he is freaking out right now, thinking of the claim that the church is about to have and how that's all going to work out, but it's going to be okay. We challenge our children to climb as high as you can climb, right? We even use the language, climb the corporate ladder. So we talk about being on top, and the importance of getting to that top spot. Now, I have to admit, the view from up here is really pretty incredible. And when I serve up here, and when I do great things, everybody can see me, right? Man, being on top is great. When we're on top, We can even develop the mindset, and this is so very dangerous, I'm above that. Do I need to go to that meeting? Nah, I don't need to interact with those folks. I don't need to go there. I'm above that. Do I need to go spend time with that person? Nah, I've climbed to the top. I'm above that. Should I go be involved in that service project? Should I go and serve in this capacity? Nah, I'm above that. We think this from time to time. Or maybe worse, we encourage others to get to the top because the view is incredible up here and everybody can see what you're doing. We even use language like, you can have so much influence at the top. Perhaps you can, but we all know in our heart of hearts, there is some danger being up here at the top. And so it's important on this wobbly ladder that we come down. And let me remind you of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. As we think about this ladder, Paul writes to the church in Philippi, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage or to be grasped, as some versions say. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Essentially, what we read about in Philippians chapter 2 is that Jesus, and we understand this, is at the top, right? But Jesus, the one who is in very nature God, is the way that Paul puts it, he descends. And he comes down here, and he lowers himself as a towel, and he washes the disciples' feet. And down here, we love it up here, but we always need to remember that we follow a Savior who is willing to come down the ladder to be with us. And of course, we think when we're down here, who's going to see my acts of service? Who's going to see me washing the feet of others? God sees us, first of all. Remember what John said about Jesus. He knew who he was. He knew where he had come from, and he knew where he was going. And so we're willing to bend down and wash others' feet because we know who we are. We know that God is watching us, and we know that God is working in our lives. And yes, you can have an impact up here. But think of the impact that you have on others when you bend down and wash their feet. For one, I think this is very important. For one, as we're bending down and washing the feet of others, there's not even the potential of looking down our nose at them. What are we doing? We're looking up at them. We are demonstrating that they have value and worth. Not necessarily because of what they've done, but because of whose they are, created in the image of God. Our feet, and this text reminds us of this, our feet have been washed by Jesus. Just three questions to think about as we close up this morning. Have you felt the healing power of Jesus in your life? Have you felt the healing power of Jesus in your life? Have you been forgiven of your sins through the blood of Christ in baptism? Have you felt that power? Have you felt God at work? Have you become aware of what life is really about because of your relationship to Jesus Christ? In all of these ways, your feet have been washed by Jesus. And most importantly, and we're reminded again of this in the text, Jesus offered his life for us at Golgotha. And what he did at Calvary is he washed a whole lot more than our feet. He washed our souls. It's important that we remember that day after day. But after Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, he said to them, "I have set you an example. Now go and do likewise." And I believe that Jesus speaks these words to every one of us today. "I have set you an example. Go and do likewise." And so as we leave this place today, and we'll do that here in a few minutes, all of us are leaving with a towel. It's not a physical towel. We're not going to be handing out towels in the back. But we're all walking out with a towel of understanding. It's the understanding that our feet have been washed by the Messiah, the King, and he has called us to go and do likewise. So we leave with a towel of understanding that we are to wash the feet of others. So as a church, let's wash some feet. Doesn't that sound exciting? If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of the assembly, as we've talked about, we seek to bear the burdens of others.